Good morning. I'd like to ask you, please, to turn to Acts chapter 2. We'll be reading verse 41 and 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's the Word of God, the Bible, in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I'd like to underscore in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in fellowship. That's the subject that I would like to speak on today, subject of fellowship. And as we read the book of Acts, I am convinced that the Christians in the early church were genuinely excited about fellowship. It says in verse 44, all that believed were together and had all things in common. That's what fellowship is all about. First of all, notice that they were believers. All that believed. They that gladly received the word of God. The unsaved would not be interested in this kind of fellowship. It was the Christians in the early church that gathered together in fellowship, and they were genuinely excited about being together with the people of God. All that believed were together. They loved it. You read the book of Acts and you'll be convinced that those Christians in the early church were genuinely excited about the fellowship. In verse 46, it tells us that they met daily. They weren't satisfied with once a week fellowship with the people of God. They met daily. They met daily in the temple and from house to house. I can't help but be convinced that the Christians in the early church, they knew what fellowship was all about, and they were genuinely committed and involved in fellowship. I would like to suggest that this fellowship that we're going to focus on this morning is essential. The Christians in the early church believed it was essential, and I believe that it is our responsibility to consider the fellowship of the people of God essential. I'd like to suggest five reasons why this fellowship is essential. Number one, it's commanded. It's not optional. God's word commands fellowship. And if we're going to be obedient to the Lord, we're going to know something about the fellowship that the early Christians enjoyed. The second essential for fellowship is for corporate worship, so that we can worship together. Oh, I know you can worship by yourself. You can worship in your bed, all alone. Can worship on the golf course. That's possible. But I tell you, beloved, it does not compare with the fellowship that we're talking about, and the Christians in the early church were genuinely excited about. For corporate worship, we gather together, and especially at 9 o'clock this morning, we had the privilege of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. That's worship. But it's only for believers. If you're not a born-again Christian believer, it's not for you. You will not be happy with it. You will not be convinced that you should be involved. Number three, it's for mutual blessing. I hope that by the grace of God, to some degree, I am a blessing to you. I would like to think I am. But you know, you are a blessing to me. It's mutual. We gather together in fellowship for mutual blessing. Number four, it's a haven of rest. It's the place we can get away from this restless world that wars below, to be together with the people of God and to enjoy fellowship with them. And number five, it's a refuge. It's a refuge from the storm. There's a storm going on out there. Do you believe it? Read the newspapers and you'll be convinced. There's a storm, and the storm is going to be on us very soon. I've got an 8-point outline on the subject of fellowship. It's really a series study. We're not going to finish it today. Maybe the next time we're together, we can continue it. But I'm going to give you the 8 points in the overall subject that we eventually want to cover. We'll probably cover the first three today. Number one, fellowship is conditional. That's what we want to talk about today. Number two, fellowship is based on love. Love in action. That's what fellowship is all about. Number three, fellowship is divinely inspired. That's probably as far as we'll get today in our study. Number four, fellowship promotes and protects unity. As long as the people of God are united in fellowship, you don't have to worry about divisions. Do you believe that? As long as the people of God are united in fellowship, you don't have to worry about divisions, because fellowship promotes and protects unity. Number five, fellowship shares common interests. the interests that you have, I want to share. And the interests that I have, I hope that you will want to share them too. Number 6, fellowship involves contribution. Have to be involved if there's going to be fellowship. Number 7, fellowship requires cooperation. And number 8, fellowship is in degrees. We won't cover that today, but fellowship is in degrees. With some, I have full fellowship. With some, I have limited fellowship. And with some, I can't have any fellowship. Number 1, fellowship is conditional. I'm going to give you a lesson in Greek, and I don't know anything about Greek. Koinonia. I know a couple words in Greek. Koinonia is one of them. And it's such a beautiful word that I hope we memorize it. That's the fellowship that the Christians in the early church enjoyed, koinonia fellowship. That simply means, according to the Greek authorities, to have in common, to share, partnership, contribution. This word koinonia, it is a very high and lofty word. It is a word beyond the Greek philosophers of that day. The Greek philosophers, in their writings, they never touched the word koinonia. The fellowship that the early Christians enjoyed, they didn't touch it because it was too high, too holy. It was an experience that was far beyond the thought of the Greek philosophers. No human being can possibly experience something like koinonia. But the Christians did. You see, the world and the Greek philosophers, they used the words for fellowship, but not koinonia. They had other words. Fraternities, clubs, lodges, religions. They used all of those words for fellowship, but not koinonia. In the Old Testament, the offerings recorded for us in the book of Leviticus, a very beautiful study. Sin offering, the burnt offering, and many other offerings. All of them have spiritual lessons for us. And in Leviticus chapter 7, we can't take the time to study it, but in Leviticus chapter 7 is the peace offering. The peace offering was a fellowship offering, in contrast to some of the other offerings. And the reason it was called a fellowship offering is because after the animal was sacrificed on the burnt off altar, they took that animal, the high priest and the priests sat down and they ate it together. That's fellowship. The high priest, Aaron, pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, and the priests picture believers today, you and I, and we can sit down with the great high priest and have fellowship. Doesn't that thrill your soul? If you want a good biblical commentary on the word fellowship, turn to 1 John chapter 1. I think we're going to take the time to cover the first 7 verses of 1 John chapter 1 because that gives us a biblical commentary on koinonia fellowship. Let's read those first 7 verses. First John 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Underscore the word of life. That's the key to the fellowship. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is a biblical commentary on koinonia fellowship. I'd like you to notice in this passage of Scripture 5 basic elements of fellowship. Number 1, commitment. Commitment to the word of life. And if you read the passage of Scripture, you'll find that the word of life is a person. That's what fellowship is all about. Commitment to a person. And John, the writer of this epistle, he had a personal, intimate relationship with the word of life. It says in verse 1 that we have heard. John heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For 3.5 years, he sat and listened to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of life. We saw. John had the privilege of seeing the word of life in person. Handled. John had the honor of actually touching the person of the Lord Jesus. You remember the time when John leaned his head on the bosom of the Lord Jesus? He saw him, he heard him, he handled him. That is commitment at its very best. Number two, cleansing. That's verse 7, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This fellowship, this koinonia fellowship that we're talking about, that the Christians in the early church enjoyed, and that you and I have an opportunity to enjoy, is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cleansing blood. That involves the new birth. If you're a born-again Christian believer, you can point to the time when the precious blood of the Lord Jesus redeemed your soul, brought you into the family of the living God. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ does more than saves your soul, more than provides redemption. Daily cleansing. That too is through the blood of the Lord Jesus. We need to be sanctified daily if we're going to enjoy the koinonia fellowship that the Christians in the early church enjoyed. There's commitment to the word of life. There is cleansing through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And then there is conduct. Our fellowship depends upon conduct. Walk in the light. If we are not walking in the light, there is no possible way that we can have the koinonia fellowship that we're talking about. Walk. Walk suggests progression, doesn't it? When you are walking, you are progressing. You're moving forward, not backward. It suggests activity, not stagnant, not remain in bed Sunday morning. It's getting up and enjoying the fellowship of the people of God. Number four, communion. That's what fellowship is all about. There is a vertical communion, and that is with God. That's part of the fellowship. But then there is the horizontal communion, that is fellowship with our fellow believer. Commitment, cleansing, conduct, communion, and there's consequences. You know what the consequences are? Verse 4, that your joy may be full. Christian, I'm talking to Christians now. The unsaved would not appreciate this. If you're a born-again Christian believer, you cannot be a happy Christian until you know something about koinonia fellowship. Before we leave this point, separation is a condition for this fellowship. You cannot have koinonia fellowship and dabble in Sodom like Lot did. Impossible. You can't have koinonia fellowship and be like the prodigal in the pig pen. When the prodigal was in the pig pen, It did not affect his relationship with his father. He was still related. He was still a son. But you know what it affected? Fellowship. It affected his fellowship. His fellowship was broken as long as he was in the pig pen, and Lot's fellowship was broken as long as he was in Sodom. In other words, union with Christ is eternal. If you're a born-again Christian believer, you are united to him eternally because he has given to you eternal life. Underscore eternal. Our union with him is eternal. But our communion is very fragile. Very fragile. There are conditions to meet. Number two, fellowship is based on love. Love in action. That's what fellowship is all about. It's love in action. You want another Greek word? Those are the two Greek words that I know. Agape. That's the love that is love in action that is needed for this kind of fellowship. Because you see, love is commanded. It's not optional. The Lord doesn't tell us, you know, it would be nice if you love your brother. That's not what the word tells us. It's a command. And if you don't love your brother or your sister, you are breaking God's command. Love is sacrificial. It's going to cost you something. The Lord Jesus Christ is our example of this sacrificial love, is he not? In his life for 3.5 years and longer was lived for others. You read the Gospels and you'll find that the whole life of the Lord Jesus was lived for others. And then, of course, his death on the cross. That was the ultimate sacrifice. Not because he sinned, because you sinned and I sinned. We were the guilty ones. Love is sacrificial. It says, bear one another's burdens. You are not going to find a single Christian that does not carry a burden. God's word tells us that we should share that burden with our fellow man. Bear one another's burdens. That's what he did on the cross, didn't he? He bore our burden. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Sacrificial love, forgive one another. That's sometimes pretty hard to do, isn't it? When they've offended you, to forgive them. How about the Lord Jesus? Do you remember when he was hanging on the cross? He looked down at the ones that nailed him on the cross. That's us. We were the ones that nailed him there. And you know what he said? Father, forgive. Forgive. If the Lord Jesus Christ could forgive us for crucifying him on the cross, we should be able to forgive the petty differences that we might have with our fellow man. Wash one another's feet. That's what the Lord Jesus did in the upper room. He washed the feet of his disciples. Now that's not literal in our situation. Pray for one another. It's not always easy, is it? Somebody that has offended you. You mean we're supposed to pray for him? That's what the Word of God says. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, is doing for us today. He's praying for us. You see, the fellowship, this koinonia fellowship that we're talking about today, is a friendship that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. Koinonia fellowship is a friendship that sticketh closer than a brother. Love is commanded. Love is sacrificial. And number three, love is compatible. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13:5, it says that love is not easily provoked. You know, if you got angry at someone, it was not koinonia. It was not agape love. It was not the love that is needed for the fellowship of the people of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we won't study it. You're acquainted with it. It's the love chapter. Where is it found? In the epistle of a very carnal church. That's a pretty good place for it, isn't it? You know why the Corinthian Christians had so many problems in their church, from immorality to all of the rest? You know why they had those problems? They had a love problem. They needed 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love would have unified a church that was breaking apart. What's the culprit that affects a destruction of fellowship? Summed up in one word, and you're well acquainted with it, I know you are. Flesh. You ever meet up with the flesh? You observe the flesh in your fellow man, but how about in your own life? You know the reason the Corinthian Christians were having such a horrible experience in their fellowship? The flesh. The flesh took the place of love. You see, the flesh is an unloving fellowship breaker. Let me run that past again. The flesh is an unloving fellowship breaker. You remember the two sisters in the church at Philippi? You remember them? It's in chapter 4. You know what they were doing? Squabbling. And I'll tell you now, as long as you squabble with your fellow believer, you're not going to know anything about koinonia fellowship. They lacked love. And consequently, they lost fellowship. You know, the fellowship that we're talking about, it's impossible to have that kind of fellowship when you are squabbling. Do you believe that? You can't squabble and have fellowship. Have you ever seen two Christians squabbling? Don't answer that. I know the answer. You've seen it. Maybe even been involved. But have you ever seen two Christians squabble while they're on their knees? Have you? I haven't. And I know you haven't either. It'll never happen. Number three, and that's going to be the sum and total of our study today. Fellowship is divinely inspired. We've already mentioned that the flesh cannot produce fellowship. It's divinely inspired. The communion and the communication that is involved in fellowship is divinely inspired. It is a work and ministry and power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. You see, God made man for fellowship. It tells us in this creation story, in our image and in our likeness. Why did God create man in his image and in his likeness? For fellowship. Because God wanted a creature that he could communicate with. He is spirit. And those animals do not have spirits. And God could not communicate with the monkey. He created a man with a spirit so that he could have fellowship with man. And then one day we find God walking in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. What was he looking for? I'll tell you what he was looking for. Fellowship. He wanted fellowship with his human creatures. But you know the story. Sin broke that fellowship. God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. He needs fellowship." And so what does God do? He creates a woman that was capable of having fellowship with Adam. As I mentioned before, that this koinonia fellowship that we're talking about depends entirely upon the Holy Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit does not take control of our minds and our hearts and our lives, forget the fellowship. There will be no fellowship. Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 4. He speaks about the unity of the Spirit. What did he mean by the unity of the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit of God that unites the believers together for the koinonia fellowship that we're talking about. Man hates loneliness. He was created for fellowship. And so man hates loneliness. And what does Satan do? He offers counterfeits. Oh, there's so many counterfeits in the world today. Clubs, fraternities, religions, all of those are provided by the devil to try and satisfy the desire of man for fellowship. Let me say in closing, speaking of Christians now, it is possible to appear in fellowship, but spiritually out of tune. Is that possible? It's possible to appear in fellowship, and yet the heart is out of tune with God. Attendance. That's very important, isn't it? Never miss a meeting. He must be in fellowship. No guarantee, beloved. Involvement in the activity of the assembly. He must be in fellowship. There's no guarantee. How about the one in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you know the sad story. He was a brother. He was a believer. Committing immorality. Attending all the meetings. Very actively involved, no doubt. But you see, that dear brother was out of fellowship before he was put out of fellowship. Do you believe that? He was out of fellowship before he was dealt with. You see, when the heart is in tune, the whole being is going to be in tune in fellowship. Koinonia fellowship. We'll have to continue this in a series in the next time we're together. Father, we thank Thee for fellowship. Not the fellowship that the world enjoys with all of the fraternities and clubs, but the koinonia fellowship that the Christians in the early church were genuinely excited about. We pray that You would touch our hearts. And if there is someone today here that is not born again, we know the subject of koinonia would not be in his vocabulary. We pray that You would touch that heart. Save his precious soul today, that he will join the happy band of koinonia fellowship. Amen.